Today, the fourth Sunday of Easter, is often known as Good Shepherd Sunday. In all 3 years of the lectionary, the Gospel reading is successive sections of John chapter 10, each with slightly different portrayals of Jesus as the Good Shepherd. Today, in year A, we begin with the first part of chapter 10. Year B will bring us, "I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice." So there will be one flock, one shepherd. And year C gives us, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand." But we do have a problem. The picture of the Lord as my shepherd is one of the great images of the Hebrew Bible. The 23rd Psalm, which we've just sung, set for this Sunday, is only the most well-known of the many texts in the Old Testament where God is portrayed as the shepherd of his people. Isaiah speaks of the Lord who will feed his flock like a shepherd and who will gather the lambs in his arms, Isaiah chapter 40. And Ezekiel, after criticizing the failures of the shepherds of Israel, says, "These are the words of the Lord God. I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. I will bring them out from every nation, gather them in from other lands, and lead them home to their own soil." Ezekiel chapter 34. The Messiah will indeed be God's shepherd king, the heir to David, whom God took from the sheepfolds, from tending the nursing ewes, to be the shepherd of his people Jacob. Psalm 78. The difficulty arises when we turn from the shepherd to the sheep. The sheep is a useful animal, and at least in its infancy, an endearing one. But its lifestyle is hardly a pattern of discipleship. That point is made seriously. Overexposure to sheep shepherd imagery, perhaps in hymns more than in scripture, "Loving shepherd of thy sheep, keep thy lambs in safety keep." Overexposure can inculcate a spirituality of overdependency. The good sheep always complies. It stays safe. It does not explore the unknown and the perilous. The attributes most desirable in a sheep are those least desirable in a disciple. And here we turn to the reading set for today from Peter's first letter, or rather to the verse before the one where we're supposed to start. There Peter says, "Slaves, accept the authority of your masters with all deference, not only those who are kind and gentle, but also those who are harsh." What follows is a moving account of Christ's refusal to return evil for evil. His silent suffering proves to be the one abyss of destroying love, in which all our iniquities are absorbed without recoil, and so their deadly sting is drawn. But Peter's purpose in this passage, which is one of the foundational texts for our understanding of the atonement, is to defend his initial injunction, his insistence that slaves should always do as they are told. We should start reading this passage when Peter started, and not where our lectionary says we should, thus obeying that first principle in the use of the Bible: don't leave out the awkward bits. The first Christians did not immediately challenge the cultural assumptions and social institutions of their world. It was taken for granted that the good slave, like the good woman, always defers. After all, that is what the good sheep does. But the image that illuminates can also mislead unless it is complemented and corrected by other images. So it is with sheep talk. To be sure, we belong to the Lord's flock, but we also belong to his family. We are his sheep, but we're also his children. Children, like sheep, are vulnerable, and they need to be protected and guided, comforted and corrected. But unlike sheep, children need to pose questions and to ask why, to challenge authority, and not always to do as they're told, if ever they're to grow up. It's because we are more than sheep that we're bold enough to challenge some of the attitudes that the Bible itself might seem to sanction, slavery and the subjugation of women among them. The more abundant life which Jesus promises has no place for unquestioning acquiescence in how things are. It's been well said of St. John that his thought moves in spirals rather than in straight lines. So it is that in today's Gospel reading, that first section of John chapter 10, we're invited to think of Jesus not primarily as our shepherd, but rather as the gate, the door to the fold where the sheep find safety and shelter. Picture a group of sheep. They are safe in their pen, which they know well, and they're keeping an eye on the only way in and out, the gate. A variety of people have been coming to that gate, and the sheep are all a little wary. They like it best, of course, when the shepherd comes. They know the shepherd, and he knows each one of them. He takes them out to places where they can get good pasture and feed safely. When he comes to the gate, they can abandon their watchfulness and just get on with eating, knowing that the shepherd will take care of them. But when other people come to the gate, the sheep are in a quandary. Their instinct is to go out when the gate is open, because that is what they have always done. But they remember times when someone who wasn't the shepherd came and led them out, and they couldn't find the pasture and didn't recognize his whistle, and some of them got lost. Ewes remember being separated from their lambs, and they all remember that the flock that made it home was smaller, less secure, and when they huddled together at night, they were not as warm and cozy as before. So some of the sheep are recommending that they don't go out of the gate at all. That way, they know they will be safe. But the other sheep point out that they will also starve to death if they don't go out to pasture. Poor, bewildered sheep. Clearly, this parable is at least in part a riddle. John tells us that its first hearers didn't understand it, and that Jesus had to explain that the point of the parable is not the shepherd, but the gate. A closed gate functions to keep the sheep safely shut in. But the open gate is what this story is primarily interested in. It's the open gate that allows the shepherd to come in, and it is the open gate that leads to the life-giving pastures. The strangers who confuse the sheep and the thieves who come to kill and rob all help to point to the one sure point. Sheep are always at risk, and they have to learn to value something more than their own safety. That something is what Jesus is offering them. The climax of the story is not security, but abundant life. At first glance, it might seem, therefore, that the Epistle of Peter has regressed in its interpretation of the sheep shepherd motif and has gone back to putting the emphasis on safety again. It seems to be a very deeply held desire in us to see God as a kind of safety device, despite all the evidence to the contrary. We long to see God as the gate that keeps all danger out, instead of the gate through which we go into lush and exciting pasture. Isn't Peter just pandering to this desire when he tells his readers that they have returned to the shepherd and guardian of your souls? But the only way that that phrase can be taken as superficial reassurance is if you detach it from its context. Otherwise, what it says is that our shepherd and guardian, whom we must trust and emulate in all our doings, is the crucified Christ. Our gateway to life is made up of the wood of the cross. So in Christ, we are indeed offered security, but on such a huge scale that it's almost frightening. What God gives us in Christ is the certainty that we are forgiven people, free to come and go in God's great pasture. For us sheep, that is sometimes rather more than we might want. We might prefer a small mouthful of grass and then a quick scurry back into our reassuringly dull sheepfold. But that is too meagre a gift for God to offer. So to return to the shepherd and guardian of your souls is to step through the gateway of Christ's cross into an entirely new world where we are no longer sheep, easily satisfied with small securities, but rather children of God, free to come and go in God's world. With that freedom comes responsibility and a willingness to abandon our day-to-day security, as Jesus did, in order to gain the total security of being and doing in every way that for which we are made. Amen.